You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الاسكياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد. There are many characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has innately created within the human being, and these characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us, we as the human being have ikhtiyar, we have an ability to choose on how we exercise and use these characteristics given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either a person can use them in i'tidal, in balance. And if they're used in balance, then they bring a lot of benefit. Or they can be used excessively, overdoing it, or underdoing it. So there's ifrat, tafreet, and i'tidal. One example of this is anger. People, when they think of anger, they think of something bad. Anger in itself isn't a bad thing. If it was bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't have created us with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created anger in us so that we can stand up for our honor, so we can stand up against the oppressor. The absence of anger is actually a bad thing. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, whoever is made angry and that person does not get angry, fahuwa himar, that person is a donkey. So not being angry when you're provoked, when a person bothers you, when a person gets on you and is violating your right, is a bad thing. The absence of it isn't good, neither is the excessiveness of it good. A person shouldn't always get angry. You should know the right time to get angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna habbal a'mali ila Allahi ta'ala hubbu fillah wal bughdhu fillah. Similarly, comes the situation of hirs. And hirs is easily translated into English as greed. Greed is actually a good thing if it's placed in the right place. If a person, for example, is greedy to do good things, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this very same word characterizing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, harisun alaykum bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim, that he is greedy in your affairs, that you are guided, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you're on the right path, that you make the right decisions in life. On the other hand, this very same characteristic, if it's placed in the wrong place, it'll end up destroying a person. An example of this is the greed of the human being when it comes to encompassing and gathering wealth, and the greed of the human being when it comes to carnal passion, and the greed of the human being when it comes to feeding oneself. Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Ihya ul-Umuddin, he has a chapter, it's called Babu Kasr al-Shahwatain. The chapter on the breaking of the two passions, the two shahwat. And Imam Ghazali says that the barrier between yourself and entering into Jannah are these two passions. These are two principal passions, two principal problems that stop you from entering into Jannah. They constantly distract you. They turn your attention in the wrong way. You're doing everything right, and then this passion pops up. So he dedicates a whole chapter to this, how to destroy these two shahwat, these two desires. And what are these two? Shahwatul batn wa shahwatul farj. The passion of the private area, meaning carnal passion. And shahwatul batn, the greed and passion for eating. What won't a human being do for food? Well, the first thing we wake up in the morning, what's on our mind? What's for breakfast? You come back from a long day of work, and rather than asking your spouse, how was your day? You ask, what's for food? After you come back from Isha Salah or Maghrib Salah, before you go to sleep, you ask, what's for food? Before you go to bed, you ask, tomorrow, what's for breakfast? What's for food? When you get together with your friends, hey, what are we doing for food? After you come to Salah, to the Masjid, what are we doing for food after Salah? What's the lunch plan after Jum'ah Salah? Which restaurants are open in Carrollton after Taraweeh prayer? Constant discussion that's on our mind. Food, food, food. Having a desire to eat is a very good thing, actually. Without that, what would the human being do? That's our energy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, as our Qari very beautifully recited towards the end, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا right? Eat that what Allah has given you, which is halal, what Allah has grown from the earth, what Allah has given from the earth, halal and tayyib. Halal meaning legal, tayyib meaning wholesome and pure. Eating is a good thing, but being obsessed with it, this is what will destroy a person. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu saw a man during his khilafah with a huge belly. And Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, ma hadha ya rajul? What is this, O man? He pointed at his stomach and said, hadha rahmatullah. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu reprimanded him and said to him, bal hadha adhabullah. This isn't the mercy of Allah. This is a punishment from Allah. And we're not talking about people here who have an illness. That's not what the discussion here is. This is an overweight state that a person has put themselves in due to their excessive greed. And this person was offended by Umar radiallahu anhu's statement. Umar radiallahu anhu pointing towards his pouch and saying to him that this is adab of Allah. So he got angry. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, you eating a lot makes this the central concern of your day and night. This is all you're worried about. Food, food, and food. When a person is worried about food, more important things in life take the back seat. People aren't worried about other things that are more important. When a person eats a lot, they become lazy. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu then said, when a person becomes lazy, then they become tired and sleep. And when they rest and sleep excessively, again, they neglect their responsibilities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Luqman the wise said to his son, Ya bunayya, idha imtala'at al-ma'da, when your stomach is full, namat al-fikra, your intellect goes to sleep. And then he said to him, wa kharasat al-hikma, and your wisdom goes away. وَقَعَدَتْ الْأَعْضَاءُ عَنِ الْعِبَادَةِ, and your limbs of your body become lazy from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu himself said, مَنْ كَثُرَ أَكُلُهُ لَمْ يَجِدْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ لَذَّةِ, whoever eats abundantly will not enjoy their worship in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of us ask this question, why do I not enjoy my worship? Why is my sajda not there? Why am I not enjoying my qiyam and my tilawatul Qur'an? Maybe it's because eating abundantly has become a part of the fabric that we have been woven from, that we've made ourselves into. Constantly worried about food, constantly worried about food. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warning his companions from this state and the possible spiritual downfall that will follow. He said to the companions, the worst vessel that a human being can ever fill is the stomach. The worst vessel you can fill is your stomach. You're feeding your passion. And the thing is, when you feed one passion, it then pours over to other aspects of your life. A person who, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi and others, they say when a person becomes habitual of eating whenever they want, eating whatever they want, whenever they want. You know, there are those of us, when we want to eat something, we don't think twice. We just go and do it. We don't ask ourselves, is it healthy for me? Is it good for me? Is this the right time for me to eat it? Should I be spending this much money in this food? They just say, I want it. I earn a lot of money, I work hard, I'm just going to go and eat it. Without putting any restraint on themselves, they go and eat. And the scholars, they say, when a person becomes habitual in doing this, then that same attitude carries on to other things in life. When it comes to their sexual life, they become the very same person. No one can stop me, I'm going to do what I want to. Instant gratification. This is what has destroyed the millennial nation, by the way. But beyond that, let's broaden the scope and not talk about just the millennials, but broaden the scope. We've become slaves of instant gratification. Whenever we want something, we demand it immediately. And the downfall that follows is tremendous. It's very bad. That's why we have this month of Ramadan where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, say no to food. Say no to it. I won't do it. Tell me today while we were fasting at 12 o'clock and at 4 o'clock and at 8 o'clock and then, you know, 15 minutes before iftar, we didn't tell ourselves, man, I'm hungry. What wouldn't I do today for, you know, a banana? Someone was walking in front of us drinking water and we're like, wow, that water looks so great today. Things that you've been prevented from now become so much more beautiful, right? We all wanted it. We all wanted it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us no. And we learned a lesson. And the lesson was, every time you want something, you don't get it. You hold back. You learn how to hit the brake in life. Just because you want a car doesn't mean you buy the car. Just because you want a home doesn't mean you buy that home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to think, do you really need the home or do you want the home? Do you need that car or do you want the car? If you need it, then take it. بَقَدْرُ الضَّرُورَ, based on what's your necessity. But constantly feeding your greed is a very bad thing. It's poison for you. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly tells us in the Quran, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, eat and drink, but don't be excessive. We hold ourselves throughout the day, from the break of dawn till the setting of the sun. We hold our greed back. Because we've been told that if we hold our greed back of eating and carnal passion, at the end of the day, we will be given taqwa, as the Quran promises us that. But right when the moment of taqwa comes, right when iftar comes, what do? We destroy that greed once again. We jump on it and we eat and eat and eat. And whatever we can lay our hands on, things that we know that are bad for us, but we're making up. And it's as if the person who wouldn't eat that much food in a normal day, because he's been told not to eat for a few hours, makes qada umri times two in suhoor and iftar. So much food, so much eating. And then we ask ourselves, why can I not be consistent with my taraweeh prayer? Why am I lazy when it comes to my ibadah? We see this every year. The sufuf, they shrink and shrink and shrink. Until the end of Ramadan, we have maybe two or three sufuf left, because the rest, they've become lazy. That's a simple answer. They've gone lazy. They've been distracted of the purpose of Ramadan. So in the month of Ramadan, it's really important for us, in order for us to gain that spiritual gain, that we follow through with the lesson of taqwa, not only during the day hours, but also during the night hours. When iftar time comes, rather than eating away and, as we'd say, pigging out, hold yourself back. If you must have your rice, if that's necessary for you, don't have it every day, have it every other day. If there's something that your heart is really attached to in terms of eating, cut back from that. Eat something else in return. Feed yourself, but don't overdo it. As they say in Persian, "Nan barayatuna tu barayanan." That the bread was made for you, you weren't made for a bread. Today the human being has become slave of food. Think of a person who has a wound on their hand. It's healing and you keep peeling it off. You keep picking at it and keep peeling it off. Will that wound heal? It's going to drag out. It won't heal as quickly. So by the end of Ramadan, we fasted for a few hours during the day. We built that resilience. And then what happened was iftar came and we broke it down. And then we built the castle again the next day. And then when iftar came, we broke it down again. During the day, we had zuhud and taqwa. During the night, our hirs, our greed overtook us. So we have to learn to hold back and stop ourselves. Hold our hand. You've come so far, so many hours, you can do more. One of the scholars was once asked that, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us to fast? And he said, so you can feel the pain of the fuqara. So you can feel what they go through. You know, look at ourselves. We've never known what hunger means. Hunger to us means we're caught in traffic. Hunger to us means that someone's busy somewhere else, and within a few minutes the food will be ready, or the microwave isn't working, or the stove isn't working, or our credit card isn't working. That's what hunger means to us. Real hunger, you look at people in other parts of the world. You go to the Middle East and Syria, you go to Yemen. These people are feeling the pain that we felt 15 minutes before our iftar for months on end. At least our iftar, we know there's going to be food on the table. At least when we're coming back home, we know there's going to be a grand meal. But imagine a mother holding her child and saying to her child that, I don't know if there's going to be food today in today's iftar. I don't know if I can feed you today. This is a moment for us to reflect, to do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you gave me food, and if I'm not going to have three plates of food, I'll have a quarter plate of food, but I'll do shukr in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adopted this life. And this is how he was so spiritually charged, always energetic, always leading the community, because his diet was good, because he had control and restraint over how much he consumed and how much he ate. You know, someone can say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate little in his life because he faced poverty, which is true for the first part. The Muslims, they weren't wealthy people. But after the conquest in Hunayn, after the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, it wasn't the same anymore. The Muslims had wealth abundantly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to the companions and said, very soon you won't be the same people that I leave you as. The companions said, what do you mean? The Prophet said, Allah will give you wealth. And when you become wealthy, you will forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you will no longer feel the need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's who we've become today. We've lost the ability to shukr because our pantries are full, our fridge is full, our freezer is full, and our deep freezer is full. We've become servants and slaves of our greed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even after Fath Makkah, even after the world and its wealth fell to his feet, he still continued to live that life. Aisha radiallahu anha says, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had bread on the menu for 3 days straight, from the moment the Prophet arrived in Medina Munawwara until the day he passed away, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So learn to put yourself in mashaqqa, put yourself in difficulty. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, when a person fasts all day and then eats away like crazy at iftar, they have an opposite effect of what fasting was supposed to give them. It's an opposite effect. You not only do you not walk out with taqwa, but your nafs grows. He says that in order for the nafs, the inner soul, the inner spirit of the human being to become strong, in order for you to stand against shaitan, you have to make the body weak. That's why Allah says, fast, eat little. When this becomes weak, this becomes strong. When a person stands during the hours of the night and their feet hurt, that's when spiritually you're growing. This is mujahada, making a sacrifice in the cause of Allah. When a person physically puts himself through a strenuous effort, that's when spiritually you grow. But what happens at the end of the day, at iftar every day, we feed ourselves so much, so the shaitan, or let's not use the word shaitan, the nafs that was under control during the day hours, when you feed it so much at iftar, it bloats up into a beast. It overtakes you then. So let's learn to control how much we eat in the month of Ramadan in particular. And let's take these habits outside Ramadan. As always, a quick few things that can be done in order for you to control this. The first thing, make your food and make your meals simple. Don't become slaves of your menu. Eat what's available to you. Ma hadar. What is present to you, say Bismillah if it's halal. In the name of Allah, eat it and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you barakah. Don't be picky about it. Don't be overly picky that it has to taste like this and it has to be cooked like this and this, that, and the other, and this needs to be paired with this and that needs to be paired with this drink. Don't overcomplicate your meals. The second thing, control your portions. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, if you must eat more than a few blights, if you must eat more than a few bites, then one third for, go ahead guys, food, one third for water, one third for air. Control your portions. You know, today when people go to doctors with obesity complaints, they cut the stomach. It's as if they're following that, they put balloons in the stomach, right, to help a person control their appetite. And this is something the Prophet told us that we should be able to do without someone performing a surgery or without someone cutting and snipping into our stomach and putting balloons into us. Learn how to eat little. Control your portions. Have you guys noticed that the fork size has gotten longer in the last 10 years? Plates have gotten wider. Bowls have gotten deeper. Spoons have also grown. Cups are getting taller. Have you guys noticed these things? When I was young, I remember, you know, eating a bowl of cereal just took a little longer because the spoon was smaller. And then all of a sudden, this big spoon came out. Just looking at it gives your shahwa pleasure. Like, oh my God, that spoon looks amazing, right? That bowl's... I won't have to take seconds. So control your portions, eat little. Another one of the things that we learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, rather than eating individually, they would pair up and eat together. They would have multiple people sit together in one plate and eat. When a group eat together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives barakah. And last two things, when you do eat, whether you eat a little or a lot, little or a lot, be very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a lot of shukr to Allah. Cry as you're eating and say, Ya Allah, I wasn't worthy of this food. You're the one who gave it. You chose me without me being worthy of it. Ya Allah, I thank you for this. Give sadaqah for those who are hungry in the world. And the last thing, if you really have a tough time cutting down on your food, just remember your messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think about the hunger that he must have lived with. Think about the hunger of his kids. Think about the hunger of his wives. And tell yourself these were the best human beings to walk on the world. And if I want to live up to their standard, if I want to live up to their rank, I'm going to need to make a sacrifice too. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a month of i'tidal and iqtisad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a month of moderation, where we have moderation in our food, moderation in our eating, barakah in our meals. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us strength from our meals to ultimately come back. وَشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. To worship Allah azza wa jal. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.